Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Todd Starnes.
Yes, it is. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Todd Starnes radio program. Hey, during the break, got an email from a good buddy of mine, Caleb Park, who writes over at FoxNews.com. Wanted to give a shout-out to a local church over there in Jonesboro, Tennessee, Lighthouse Missionary Baptist Church. And you know what the good people of this church did? They gave, they wanted to honor the town police department. So this is Jonesboro, Tennessee. And the pastor there wanted to honor all of the members of the local police department. And the pastor, his name is Perry Clark. He says, you know what? Enough is enough. You know, he's so tired of seeing police officers disparaged and bullied and bullied in the mainstream media. And all this lawlessness and the vandalism and the looting. And so he said, you know, we got to do something. He told us, got the congregation together. And this is why I love being a Baptist. They got the congregation together and they said, you know, what can we do? What can we do to help these guys? They gave every single member of the police department in Jonesboro, Tennessee, a $1,000 check. $1,000 for every police officer. Those are the kinds of stories that I love sharing with you, because that's a reminder that at the end of the day, we have a lot of patriots in this country, a lot of people who are willing to stand alongside police officers, law enforcement. They've got our back, and we've got to have theirs, and that's what it's really all about. So anyway, good for you guys there at Lighthouse Missionary Baptist Church. If you guys see a good story, a good news story like that, drop us a line over on the Facebook page, send us a note, and we'll do a story about it. All right, I want to switch gears here. A big story out of Colorado that just broke a little while ago. The Colorado Attorney General very upset over a Bible conference that was being held, and he issued a cease and desist order and told the Christians they could not hold a Bible study conference gathering anymore. It's okay if you want to go march in the streets and burn something down in Denver, but how dare you Christians go out there and hold a Bible conference? So on the Newsmaker line, we have two very special guests with us, Andrew Womack from Andrew Womack Ministries, and they were the ones conducting the Bible conference, and our good friend, I was going to say old friend, but the guy can bench press a Buick, Matt Staver from Liberty Council. I see your Facebook post putting all the rest of us to shame. It's
not quite a Buick, but yeah.
Matt, you're like one of these, I guess I should tell people, I mean, you're really physically fit, and you do the whole like bodybuilding and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, I try to keep in shape. I've done that ever since high school, and there have been some times where I got out of the routine, but I'm in the gym. I mean, we have a nice gym in our home, and so I'm there and in the morning reading scripture, listening to scripture, listening to praise and worship, so it's a great way to start the day.
I don't have a gym, but I have a barbecue smoker, so maybe I could just do like curls or something with it.
Yeah, that might work as well. You can lift it.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. All right. Well, look, Matt, great to have you with us. Pastor Andrew, thank you for being here as well. Why don't you tell our listeners what you guys were up to that was causing the Attorney General so much grief?
Well, let Pastor Andrew begin.
Okay. We held a family Bible conference, which we've been doing every year for probably 15 or 20 years. And counting the children, we had about 1,000 people at the conference. Our auditorium seats 3,200 people, and then we have two other auditoriums, altogether 5,000 people. And we were practicing all of the social distancing. Of course, we didn't go around and enforce it, but we encouraged it. We encouraged people to wear masks. We took their temperature. We had all of the sanitation, and we did everything we knew. But you know, we have a 3,200-seat auditorium, and there was only about 800 people in the main auditorium. So we felt good about it, but we got a cease and desist order. And we had also been in contact with the county officials, and we did everything that they asked us to do. They even came back with some extra things, which we complied with. The only thing we didn't comply with was 175 maximum attendance. That's the what the governor has put out in Colorado. And we just felt like, you know, we had a First Amendment, as you said, Todd. They're having protests and riots and everything, and they don't enforce anything there. We were probably the cleanest place around. So we decided to go ahead and hold up.
Pastor, my good friend Tony Perkins sent me a text message last night. He knew you guys were going to be hanging out with us. He said they sent that cease and desist, ironically, I guess, after Tony Perkins had addressed to the conference. Is that right?
That's right. And we had a panel discussion with Tony, General Boykin, William Federer, E.W. Jackson, and Janet Boynes, and we discussed all of the political, social issues of the day and what would be a biblical response. And our internet thing blew up on that, and I think that that could be related. I don't know for sure, but it happened immediately after that panel discussion.
Oh, yeah, Matt Staver, that's it. Tony Perkins, he triggered the poor attorney general. That's the problem here.
You know, speaking the truth, here is Governor Polis, and, you know, we see this happening in all the different places that we're litigating, this discriminatory treatment between religious gatherings, whether they be churches or the Bible camp in the study, the event like Andrew Womack was doing, and these protests. And, in fact, about 10 days ago, a court in New York saw that discrimination and said, look, the governor of New York allows all these protests. He encourages them. So does the mayor of New York City. And yet they want to restrict churches. That's unconstitutional. Well, you got the same thing in Colorado. Governor Polis has not only allowed the protest, including some members of the Denver Broncos that spoke at these protests, but he encouraged them. He actually said this in one of his statements, quote, "It is not possible to stay at home. It is not possible to stay silent." Now, he's talking about that in the context of the protest, not church, but the protest. So the Governor Polis and the Attorney General Kuhn, who actually wrote this letter on July the 2nd, wanting to cancel a cease and desist the final day of the conference on July the 3rd, they have allowed all these mass protests. We sent a letter on the morning of July the 3rd back to the Attorney General doing several things. One, setting the record straight about how much the Andrew Womack Ministries was doing over and above and beyond anything else that others were doing to protect the health and welfare and safety of people. And they've actually been working very well with the local authorities. And then number two, look, we actually attached photographs of these mass gatherings, shoulder to shoulder, no social distancing, many of them not wearing masks, and the governor and the attorney general say that's okay. Well, I mean, that's not okay. That's unconstitutional. And so, you know, we're not backing down against this discriminatory treatment that has been attempted by the attorney general and Governor Polis.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, what do you, you know, you've covered these kinds of stories. You've represented so many churches around the nation here. What do you think is really going on? I want to share my theory with you. Well, I think this is about shutting down and marginalizing the churches in advance of the 2020 presidential election.
Yeah, I think so. And you look at all these states where these restrictions are with regards to religious meetings and houses of worship and so forth, and they're run by governors who don't respect the sanctity of human life, so they're not going to respect your freedom. And there's two things that's very clear that they're targeting religious gatherings. One, these orders always say that in the same building that you would have the religious service, you can have an unlimited number of people for secular, non-religious gatherings to feed them, shelter them, and give them, quote, social services. But as soon as you have a religious service, now all the restrictions jump in. Now, that's clear that they're targeting religious services. Now, you also have a second layer, and that is this unlimited number of people that they're not only allowing, but they're frankly encouraging from the highest levels of government to participate in, and yet they want to restrict religious gatherings. It's very clear, Todd, that they're going after religious gatherings and churches. And you know what? I don't think it's an accident. I don't think it's coincidence that it just happens to be in 2020 when we have the upcoming presidential election.
Pastor, I want to get your take on that. I mean, you're talking to people there in the churches. Do you feel like there's something more nefarious going on here with these targeting of churches and religious gatherings?
Well, I definitely believe there is. Now, whether the people who are enforcing this are doing it against Christianity, I don't know, but I do believe it is motivated by the devil. There is a spirit of Antichrist, and you don't see the same discrimination against other people. So whether it's knowingly participating or just being moved, I'm not sure. But as you mentioned, Todd, this was right after Tony Perkins and all of this other panel. I mean, we spoke some things that were just amazing. James Robinson is putting that on his network's things, and it's going to have quite a life, and I think it stirred some things up.
Well, no doubt about it. All right. Well, gentlemen, we're going to have to leave it there. Pastor, thank you so much. Matt Staver,
thank you.
As always, great work, and keep us updated.
We will do. Thank you, Todd.
All right, Matt Staver, Liberty Council, and folks, I'm serious here, and I know we're having a good time kind of kicking back on today's program, but I want you to hear me. There's something going on here. The president has enjoyed immense support from the evangelical Christian community. And by and large, the evangelical Christian community represent an overwhelming percentage of the people who actually go to church on Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night for prayer meeting. That's a matter of fact. And again, as the Democrats are plotting to take out this president, what better way? You tank the economy, but beyond tanking the economy, which may or may not come back, if you're able to shut down the churches, if you are able to marginalize the voices of the pastors, if you are able to somehow neutralize the churches in advance of the 2020 presidential election, then you could very well swing this election. And so I think there's something very deliberate happening here. I think there's something very nefarious. Otherwise, I want someone listening, and if I don't care who you are, but I want someone listening to explain to me why it's okay for people to go out by the thousands and hang out all day side by side on a public street protesting, but it is somehow more dangerous for a person to go to a church house and worship God for an hour or 90 minutes. Someone explain that to me. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
I was wondering about something. Our good friend Michelle Cox from out in Asheville, North Carolina, beautiful town, by the way, shared a story about a number of chain restaurants that are going out of business in Asheville because of the China virus, the Kung Flu. Bonefish Grill, CC's Pizza, McAllister's Deli, Copper River Grill, not reopening in Asheville, North Carolina. And I was just, I was wondering how pervasive is this issue? And we're not talking about local mom and pop restaurants that are going belly up. I mean, these are big time national chains, and McAllister's arguably has some of the best sweet tea in America. And I'm an expert in that area. So I was over on the AtlantaEater.com site, and I'm just astounded by just dozens of restaurants that have already shut down. So they're keeping track of all of these restaurants that are going out of business. I'm curious if you are seeing that in your towns, your communities. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And that's just really sad. But this is a reality of where we are right now. And unless unless people are able to get back to work, this is going to be a very bad economic situation long term. Very bad. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to New Orleans. Our good friend, Miss Janice, on the line. Hello, Miss Janice. How are you today?
Hello, Todd. How are you?
Now, you know, Miss Janice, we were talking earlier about Richard Dawson. I bet you know who Richard Dawson is.
Wait, Richard Dawson. I don't know why. Richard Dawson, the name is familiar. Was he on a game show?
Yes, Family Feud.
Oh, was that it? Oh, Richard Dawson. Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm not doing very well here. You remember Hogan's Heroes back in the day?
No, now that name doesn't mean anything to me at all.
Oh, that was a good TV show.
But Family Feud, yeah, I used to watch Family Feud. That was one of my favorite game shows. I love that one, yeah.
I was a match game guy.
I was just going to mention that, Todd. Yeah, that's another one that I liked. Yeah, that one. Yeah, that was a good one. And I liked that one with Pat Sajak, too. That was when he was...
Oh, you mean The Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I like that one, too, yeah. Those three really were the only ones that I really liked a lot. Those are real good ones.
They don't make TV like they used to, Miss Janice. I'm just going to be honest with you.
No, they definitely don't. I don't watch an awful lot of television. I watch Fox News Channel, 48 Hours, Dateline NBC, AGT comes on tonight. That's good. That's always good. America's Got Talent. But I lean more towards things that are real versus television programs that are, you know, scripted. The only things I watch like that is my two soap operas. I got Young and the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful, which I love. But, of course, right now they're both on hiatus, and I don't know how much longer they're going to be. It all depends on this COVID thing.
And, you know, my grandmother, back in the day, Miss Janice, my grandmother Starnes, she could not be bothered in the afternoon because she had to watch her programs. I had to. Mm-hmm. I said, what are you doing, Meemaw?
Yeah.
Can't talk, got to watch my programs. She was a huge General Hospital fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally understand that because my daddy worked and my mama was the homemaker. And that's what she did. That's what we did before I went to school and everything and on summer vacations. Yeah, I remember back in the day. I would start like 10 o'clock in the morning, and the soaps were not an hour. They were just 30 minutes. So you could pack a whole lot of stuff in a day. You're really good. And so we watched them. Mm-hmm. That's how I got to like it. Days of Our Lives, Another World.
What was the one with the hourglass? These are the days of our lives.
That was the one, Days of Our Lives. Yeah, then they had As the World Turns. Search for Tomorrow, Secret Storm, Guiding Light. You name it. They had it, man. Boy,
There was a lot of stuff going down during daytime TV back in the day.
Absolutely there was. But what I wanted to mention here, and I hope you will take this seriously.
Oh, Miss Janice, hold on. Can you hold that thought?
Mm-hmm.
Hold that thought. We've got to take a break. We got caught up in the soaps. Hang tight, Miss Janice. What is going on with today's show, folks? What is going on here? All right, look, we got to take a break. We'll be back, Miss Janice, and Lord knows what. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We're sort of unplugged today for some weird reason. I don't know why, but we were talking about soap operas with Miss Janice, but she didn't want to talk about soap operas. She wanted to say something about these mask ordinances out there. So, Miss Janice, thanks for hanging over after the break. We always like hanging out with you.
Well, I thank you, Todd. I thank you. I just want to help people to stop and think a little bit, and I'm trying to use common sense, not politics. The other day I was listening to a show and this man called up and he had the COVID. He went through it and he was advising people to wear the masks. Now, this is someone who had been in the hospital for a few weeks. And then I heard that Herman Cain has it. He was hospitalized. And Kimberly Guilfoyle has it as well. And yesterday I heard that a 20-year-old woman with no underlying conditions died from it. And there's an actor, I don't recall his name, he's 41 years old, and he is dead. And the point that I am trying to make here is that people are making this political. It's conservatives against liberals. It reminds me of a mother and her son or something. Oh, mommy, no, I'm not going to do my homework because you want me to. Now, this is a very serious thing. Ms. Bottoms is asymptomatic. Now, think about the people that could be out there. You don't wear a mask, people. Let's say somebody out there listening to me doesn't wear it, don't believe in it. But there's other people not wearing it. You don't know who's got it and who doesn't have it, who's asymptomatic. Maybe they don't even know they have it. And they can, in turn, give it to you. Or if you have it and don't know it, then you could pass it on to someone else. And they could bring that back to their family, to their loved ones, as the cab driver in Florida did, who didn't want to wear the mask. He was being belligerent. Well, his wife ended up on a ventilator, and I don't know what the outcome of that was. I hope that the lady is okay now. But I don't wish any harm to come to anyone. But people have to start using simple common sense. And if you don't, and this spreads and gets worse, you're not only hurting yourself, you're hurting others, but you're hurting the entire country. Because, yes, the businesses that are struggling and trying to reopen right now will ultimately have to be shut down again. And then what are we going to become?
Well, Janice, look, I think the issue here, the overarching issue is, should we have had herd mentality? I mean, you can't stay shut down for a year, and that's exactly where we're going. I mean, sooner or later, you know, we're going to have to take our chances, and we're going to have to get out there and live our lives and let this thing run its course. But if everybody stays cooped up, you know, I don't think we can wear masks for the rest of our lives. I don't think we're called to do that as Americans. I just don't think that's right. So we'll see what happens here, Janice. But look, I understand both sides of the story, and I want to, you know, it's a tough place in the country right now. It is. Look, I'm not going to begrudge you. If you want to go out there, any of you guys want to go out there, wear a mask, that's between you and your maker and your doctor. But honestly, right now, these masks are more about politics and keeping us safe, in my estimation. Janice, got to run, dear. Thank you for the call. I do want to go to the Liberty University newsmaker line on this very issue of the masks. And again, this is a big deal for a lot of people, including a lot of college kids. And last night, I received a message from Abby Hill, who is a student at the University of North Georgia, where our beloved call screener Avery also attends. Abby, welcome to the program. Do we have Abby? All right.
Hello,
well, let's put Abby on the hold until we can get that call worked out, and we'll try to get back to her in just a minute. But the issue here, folks, is the politicization of the Kung Flu. And this all ties in together. When you look, we were talking about these churches that have been shut down. Why have the churches been shut down? I believe the government wants to marginalize the influence of these congregations. That's what I think is really going on. We talk about the businesses and the business community. I understand what the president's trying to say, that, well, we're going to bounce back stronger than ever. Well, that's real easy to say when it's not your business on the line. And the fact of the matter is, a number of small businesses around this country have been shut down, and they will not be reopening. We have a little bit of breaking news here in Memphis, Tennessee. About 30 seconds ago, they announced that all the bars in Memphis, Tennessee have been ordered to shut back down. They will not be allowed to reopen for the foreseeable future. And they're also telling us that restaurants here in this part of the country may have to have their hours curtailed as a result of this virus. And now many universities are suggesting similar policies. And I think we've been able to establish contact with Abby Hill, a University of North Georgia student. Abby, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
All right, Abby. So look, you reached out to me last night and you had some concerns about what's happening at the University of North Georgia. What's going on?
So last night I found out that University Systems of Georgia is going to mandate masks for the fall semester. And I feel really passionately about it, but I feel like our constitutional rights as students and United States citizens are being stripped from us because I don't want to force anyone to wear a mask or to not wear a mask, but I just want to fight for individual freedom. And I feel that if we give this little bit to any leftist administrators or those that are trying to push their agenda, that they're just going to take more in the future.
Now, Abby, some people may say, well, what's the big deal here? You know, it's you've got a lot of people up on Capitol Hill. They say you need to wear a mask. Why don't you just wear a mask?
I think it's a lot bigger than just wearing a mask. Besides the fact that the CDC has reported that we're approaching the threshold for dipping below the level of an epidemic, and the World Health Organization has even posted that patients who aren't showing symptoms aren't driving the spread, just aside from the science of the whole matter, I think that it's just an issue of being able to choose. And I don't think that students should be forced to wear a mask. Another thing is online classes have always been and always will be available for those who choose to be completely remote. No one is being forced to come in person. When we switched online to online classes, it was really, really hard. And the communication itself is already difficult within various institutions. And I think just being forced to wear masks is only going to go further than this, because the same people that are fighting for us to be forced to wear these masks or these face coverings are the same ones that are advocating to go out and protest in the hundreds without regard for the spread of the coronavirus. So I just feel that it's very hypocritical.
You know, it's interesting, Abby. I was watching a show the other day, and I guess the latest fashion craze are the masks, and so people are creating these designer masks. I've been calling them face burkas because I believe that what we're seeing play out here is just like the kind of shaming that people go through in the Middle East when they do not wear a head covering. And Abby, I don't know if you've noticed this, but some of these newly designed face coverings are they're covering the neck, you know, they're going up behind the head. They're becoming more and more and more like burkas every day.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Call screener Avery, turn your microphone on for a moment.
Yes, sir, I am here.
So you're a student at the university. I'm just curious, what are you hearing from your classmates, as well as far as going back to school?
Well, for the most part, a bunch of my friends who I attend college with, we're not necessarily talking about this sort of issue. But I mean, from what little we have talked about it, they are ones who are for wearing masks. But then again, at the exact same time, whenever we have hung out with each other, no one is wearing a mask. And I'm not saying that they're wrong for doing that, and I'm not saying that they're right for doing that as well. But, I mean, I really don't know. I just think a whole lot of people – I'm not saying this on them as well, but I just think a whole lot of people are just wearing the masks just because they're afraid of getting yelled at and just berated for not wanting to – and quote-unquote not – or quote-unquote being selfish for not wanting to wear the mask. And I think using the term selfish for not wanting to wear a mask because you're not afraid of a virus – is not an okay thing to do.
Abby, I think I'm buying into this. I see exactly what you guys are saying. This is really about publicly shaming people who are not conforming to what the Democrats want us to do.
Yes, I completely agree. A lot of the friends that I have talked to about this situation, they say that they're for masks, or maybe they say they're not against masks, they're for masks. But every time that I have hung out with any of them, we do not ever wear masks. And I don't have a problem with people wearing them. If you want to, I think that's great if you feel that that's necessary for your safety. But I don't feel that others should be pushed to do the same. And most of the students that are causing a ruckus, wanting everybody to wear these masks, they're so obsessed with making people feel just pointed out and making them feel bad about themselves. And I've seen people being called murderers because they choose not to wear a mask, and that's just not right.
Oh, geez, Lou, that's just terrible. All right. Well, Abby, thank you for reaching out to us, and keep us updated on what's happening there at the University of North Georgia. And good student. And I suspect you are not alone around the country. So hang in there and fight the good fight. Always good to hear from conservative students around this country. Folks, it's a mess, isn't it? It is a great big mess. And I'm telling you, I'm just not wearing a mask. I do not wear a mask. Now, if I'm going into a business and they say you got to have a mask, well, I've got one in the pocket. So I'm, you know, look, it's their business, their rules. But by and large, I'm not going to do it. And I say that because early on in this pandemic, they told us masks were not effective. And they have yet to explain how they changed their opinion of that. If they do, I might reconsider. But right now, healthy as a horse. 844-747-8868, our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
To the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to the phones. Olive Branch, Mississippi. Dina listening to us on the Todd Starnes app. Hi, Dina. How's it going today?
Well, hi, Todd. It's going very well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. What's on your mind?
The topic of mask. Because I'm concerned. I see so many people, in fact, more and more wearing the mask. And I believe that they're basically hurting and harming themselves. There are so many studies and truth out there. I think it's part of the globalist agenda, basically, for people to do that and to keep everyone scared. But, you know, just a few of the reasons not to wear a mask are, you know, it kills your immune system, and you need your immune system. And also the synthetic mask that the chemicals that are made of, you're breathing those in. And doctors also warn about long mask wearing and hypoxicity. And then the carbon dioxide, because you're breathing in your own air. And, of course, the germs and the dirt, if you don't change it every time you take it off. I can go on and on and on.
Well, that's a look. It's, I mean, these are some valid arguments to have here. I mean, Dina, you have to excuse me, Dina. I just took a swig of sweet tea and I thought you caught me off guard. Dina, I think the bigger problem with these masks is the idea that they're being used as a political stunt now, and they're being used to shame people. This has nothing to do with public health or safety. And we know this because early on in all of this controversy, they were telling us that the masks did not help stop the transmission of this disease. That it just doesn't. Dina, thanks for the phone call. Let's go to John listening to us on KWAM. John, what's on your mind?
Thomas, you think this country is in turmoil right now? You just wait. One day, people at CNN, MSNBC, NPR, C-SPAN, the people in the House and the Senate and all over the United States, one morning they're going to wake up, walk into the bathroom, and they're going to say, oh, my God, I'm white.
Well, that would be a traumatic thing for some people, I have to imagine.
There's a lot of them right now that don't realize that, I don't believe.
No, well. John, you're... John, thanks for the call. Wow. You guys, you know what? I think there must be something in the water. I mean, we're all a little slap crazy. Do we have time to go to Carlotta? I think she wants to say something nice about Avery. Hi, Carlotta.
Actually, I have four things I want to say, three quick and one a long speech about Avery. But I think the mask thing is just to keep Joe Biden's campaign that he could stay in the basement. All right. It's all about his campaign.
Well, you got about 40 seconds, so say something about Avery. He needs a pick me up today.
Avery is just the nicest. He just, we see these young kids running around, you know, knocking things down, whatever. Thank God for Avery. I mean, he's just. Thank you for letting us see that. That's what young people, many of them, are like.
Yeah, he's a good one. And Caleb, too. You know, Caleb, he's kind of like the silent guy. He doesn't say a lot.
But the unsung. Nice. I'll play the role of the unsung hero.
Unsung. You're that guy in the credits. Guy behind the tree.
Special thanks to.
Carlotta, thanks for those kind words. We take all the compliments we can get around here. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We've got another full hour ahead. Also checking in with the RNC. A lot going on in politics, plus some crazy, crazy culture stories. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We'll be right back.